World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
And that's the way it is. Friday, August 13th, 2017. A little bit of a new getup in here this morning. First of all, look, the bags are gone. As Vince said, my baggage is gone. Hit the rack last night about 8 o'clock, slept like a rock, popped up about 5:15, ready to go. I can tell you, man, I was dragging. I was a tired puppy yesterday on that show. I went back and kind of watched a little bit of it. I was all over the place, man. But amazing what a little bit of sleep will do for you. Up bright and early, bushy-tailed, ready to roll here today. I don't take back anything I said yesterday. I kind of listened to that thing. There's a lot of good stuff in there. You know, a lot of good stuff comes out when you're sleepy, I guess. But I dress like this just to satisfy those who have been telling me that it's hard to take me serious when I wear T-shirts. Hard to take me serious. So I just wanted to show you that you would believe it. I can dress up. I could even take off my hat. I need a haircut. I'll get a haircut today. I could take off my hat, and I could look like your preacher. And then you would believe everything I told you, right? So maybe that's the style I ought to go with. Maybe I ought to dress up and wear a tie and take my hat off and speak in a softer voice and lure you into a trap. I could do that. Just trying to show everybody. I look a little bit like Wolf Blitzer today, don't I? Believable, huh? I'm looking out for you, Bill O'Reilly. Now that I got my tie on, now I'm unbelievable. Hey, man, a lot of crazy stuff going on. It is Friday the 13th. And Chad, our local expert, just explained to us all what Friday the 13th was. So, Chad, come on in here. You don't have to hurry as much. Explain to us the origins of Friday the 13th.
Okay, back in the days that when the Vatican, known powerhouse, they had a group that escorted all of their tithes and offerings of the surrounding areas called the Templar Knights. And these Templar Knights, they were big. They're like modern day celebrities. They became bigger than the church did. The church devised that, hey, they were losing their power. And they didn't want these Templar Knights moving in on their territory because they were warriors. They were swordsmen, if you will. And so they trapped these Templar Knights. They called them into the Vatican there, or the Vatican at that time, trapped them, and they killed them there. On Friday the 13th, they killed many that came. And then they went on the hunt for them, and they went into hiding and went to the underground. And that's, they've branched out now and gone underground over the years.
But they killed them on Friday the 13th. That's why Friday the 13th became a big deal, right?
That's correct.
I wish we had Michael Andrews in there because he could give us the numerology behind Friday the 13th. I was going to do a show on numbers. I still will do that one. I feel like me again today, okay? The last 3 days, I was whipped. And so I got a little bit of bounce in my step here today. I got some stuff I really want to bring up. This is Flea Flicker Friday, although we tried to make that Flea Flicker Thursday yesterday, and I didn't do much flea flicking yesterday. I didn't hog the show yesterday. Don't want to hog it today, but I got some stuff that I have to get to before we get too deep. Still looking up here. I got 18 people in the queue. I still do my ego really, really good someday here. I had 30 in there. Now, Jared told me, Jared, don't tell him this, but our podcasts are really going up. People are downloading our podcast. Now, see, a YouTube view, somebody can come along and watch a YouTube view. They can click on that and watch it for 30 seconds and turn it off. And I think that counts as a YouTube view. So that can be deceptive. The people who are downloading podcasts, now that's somebody's coming in and saying, you know, I'm purposefully listening to this. That kind of encourages me. I'm excited about the relentless pursuit of the truth. Someone wakes you guys up every morning and gets you on here. And I ain't making it. I'm not paying you. Something inside of you is drawing you to come to, because there's some liberty here. There's some truth here. I'm not patting myself on the back, although I could. Let me give my head down, see the top of my hat. But we got a great dynamic going on here. Great dynamic. I heard from Chris Keys. They did a bunch of feeding last night down there again, down in Port Arthur. A lot of great stuff going on down there. But I got some other stuff. I really at the top of the show here. So those of you who don't know, I have another computer over here. This screen, my computer screen here, actually splits in two. But I can only drive one car at a time. So I have another computer over here I operate off. So if you see me looking over here, that's what's going on. It's over here on the big screen here in the stadium that flashes up on the big screen so I can see it. A couple things I want to cover with this real quickly before we get rolling. Say, Coach, what's your biggest frustration? Well, here's my biggest. That's not even a good question to ask myself. Biggest. I have a lot of frustrations, okay? But my biggest, I have never in my life ever done anything as hard as trying to get men out of the pew. I've never done anything as hard as that. I've been after this for almost 20 years. I could build football programs, and I could walk up down the hallways, and I could recruit guys to play football. When I went to London High School in 1989, they hadn't had a winning season in a long time. Our first year, we had 34 guys on the team. And during the off season, I started walking the halls and inviting guys to come out. And when we reached the peak of our numbers, we had 34 in 1989, my first year. And in 1995, at the heat of the program, we had almost 100. I thought I was going to have to get numbers like 98B. So I can get guys out to play. The most difficult thing I've tried, I'm just telling you the truth, is to get commitment out of men. And that's a sad state of affairs. Because I tell you this right now, if we put on the schedule that there was a big football game, the Cleveland Browns were going to play the Cincinnati Bengals, and we were having a Cincinnati Bengals Browns football party, they'd come from everywhere. They would come from everywhere to come get the free eats, and they'd come. But when you try to get men to put that same attention and same courage and same zeal into the things of the Lord, into their faith, they don't clock in on that. They don't clock in. A lot of talk. Cheap talk's cheap. A lot of talk in men. That's my great frustration. But I'm going to continue to do it. As I said yesterday on the show, it's amazing. I had a conversation with Chad off last night. I spoke to Chad this morning, just went to bed. Kind of a love story. Chad put me to sleep. You know what I'm saying? The idea that the church hasn't turned up where was I? Port Arthur at all. We've been there for 6 weeks and church, not one pastor's come. Not one. Out there on the street feeding people in the local church. Maybe the local church is doing their own thing, but at some point, wouldn't your curiosity, if I was a pastor in a local community and there's people down there feeding people right out on the street and they've done it every night, just I think my curiosity, I might want to go down there and see who those people are. But it isn't. There's something about, I don't know what it is, that thinks we have to do church inside of a building. What is that? We got to do church inside of a building. And then they call guys like me street ministers or street preachers. Jesus was a street preacher. In fact, you looked in the scripture, they were surprised that one day when he walked into the synagogue, and he opened up the scripture, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is appointed on me because he has anointed me, preach the gospel to the poor." They were shocked. He came to synagogue. He was supposed to be out other places. What's he doing? And now we've taken Christianity and we've put it in the synagogue again. And it's so hard to get people out of the synagogue. That's been my goal. That's what I've been trying to do. Whoops, hit a button over here and something's going to start playing. I don't want it to. So I got to make you aware here. Jared, if you can't go to our... I want to talk about some events coming up that are really, really important. Hey, fellas, listen, if we're going to be successful, we got to build our number. Build a downline. I talk about that all the time. But you guys got to help more. Hey, Kyle Manta, Right Wing Watch. I'm not whining, moaning, complaining. We're building an army, brother. I give you fair warning on that, okay? We're building an army. But a lot of you aren't helping a whole lot. A lot of you are watching the show, but you're not helping us do a whole lot. So here's three things I want you to make you aware of. We spoke about it yesterday. Three events we got coming up on the 21st of Jared, if you can go to, I think it's on our webpage there, but let me get my screen so I can see it. Yeah, Jared's got it up on the screen, I think. You go to our events page, and there you see where it is, right? Well, on Chad Estes has got one coming up at his place on the 20th, Texas regional event at the Estes Ranch. If you are in Texas, Chad is having a huddle there at his house. Chad, tell us a little bit about that. Because Chad, hey Chad, hang on a minute. I want to know something, Texas Salt and Light Brigade, with the exception of Chad and a few others. Why have I been to Port Arthur more times than you have? Why have I been down to Rockport more times than you have? What is it, just you want to put a Texas Salt and Light Brigade badge on your arm? Is that what you want to do? The heck? Come on, man. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, thanks, Coach. Yeah, we're going to have our monthly regional meeting. We'll just ask, well, Friday night we're going to have a cookout again, and we'll stay until everybody wants to go or whatever, go sleep or whatever, and then we'll kick it off again on Saturday with some prayer, some more fellowship, and some reading of scriptures, some prepping, maybe some shooting, and then a little bit more intensity on Sunday. And then,
some fellowship, right? Some fellowship, get to know like-minded people, right, Chad?
That's right. And we've called the fellowship gathering. That was my initial one, but I'm bringing it up a notch here. We're having a fellowship assembly, so we're getting more intensity. We're getting intensity.
Amen. We're gathering. Are you kidding me? It'd be a bunch of women at a gathering, wouldn't it? So now you have an assembly. You're going to put all the parts together. So if you're anywhere out there, all you guys who are in the Texas area, get to Chad's this weekend. I gotta keep. I'm sorry, the 20th, and then go down the next one. All you Ohio people, on the 21st. See, we're trying to do something. We do more than just go feed hamburgers, okay? Trying to train you up to feed hamburgers in the Ohio area. If you are, hey guys. Think about this a minute. You like to go to events that there are 10 people at, 5 people at. So you say, hey, I come to this Christian, what do they call it? Why are we calling it? Come to this get in the game thing. Come to this get, well, how many people are going to be there? They ask you, oh, well, it'll be me and Joe and Tom. I hope somebody else comes. Ain't anybody going to come? But if there are 100 people, yeah, 50, yeah, okay. So what am I saying? Well, there are some of you who are within a couple hour drive who need to come to this. Not for you.
Maybe we need to bill it as a Salt and Light Brigade combine. Come and see if you qualify.
Oh, Gary, I know you're listening to that. Come and see if you qualify. Some of you listening out there right now, you're an hour and a half, 2 hours from doubt, from Oroville. Come on! Will you come over? Will you get in the car and bring somebody with you and come over? So when the people that we're trying to recruit walk into the room, they say, wow, well, look at this crowd. What's going on? Numbers matter, all right? Numbers matter. This is Saturday morning, the 21st, from 10 until noon. We're going to get together. It's all on the website there. Camp Lose, I think it's called. And we're going to open up, crack this thing open. Come on, Christian men, let's get involved, huh? How about a promise keepers with some guts? We're drawing men. We're drawing women. This is going to go on. It's free, I think, isn't it, Gary? I think it's free. Let's see what it says. It's free. It's free. Or you can sit home and you can gripe and moan and complain about how bad your church is and I can't find the church and blah, blah, blah. Come on. If you're within 2 hours, get your hind end in the car and bring somebody with you. You got to get serious about it.
Dave, Chad here. one more thing I wanted to add that people, I know it's, look, for every day there's an excuse why we couldn't do something. And also, so if you're having financial problems or something like that, if you'll just fill your tank up or whatever, you just get to my place, I'll get you home. I'll cover it. So it's just important we've got to get together.
Amen, Chad. Hey, Chad, how about this? I hate to harp on this one. What if everybody just sent us $20 a month? We wouldn't be looking at these issues, and we would help people get here. See, that's one of the things that really ticks me off. I'm going to go there.
Coach.
I'm going to go there, man. Hang on there with me, okay? Bring all the tithes in the storehouse. Malachi, go there, Jared, real quick. I'm shifting gears on you because I feel that poke in the chest. I feel that unction poking me in the chest again. Malachi 4, I think it is, Jared. Malachi 4. Is that right, guys? Malachi 3?
Malachi,
bring all the tithes into the storehouse. They might be meeting my house. Where is that? Come on. No, it's not Malachi 1. It's maybe 3. Malachi 3, I think it is. I used to be all bound up in that tithing thing. We give a lot. We don't tithe. It's legalism. Tithing's legalism. Okay, go ahead. Get mad if you want. I'm just telling you the truth. We give away more than 10% here. We do. We don't tithe. What's a tithe? Here it is. Thank you. Malachi 3, verse 7. Let's start verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from mine and ordinances, and you've not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return to you, say the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? And so he says, well, a man robbed God, yet you've robbed me. But you say, hey, where have we robbed you, Lord? He says, in tithes and offerings. He says, what? Yeah, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Stay with me. Robbed this whole nation. Why? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house. Now, boys, let me ask you a question. What is the purpose of the storehouse? What is the purpose of meat in the house? Can one of you little peons out there, one of you members of the laity, can one of you people sitting in the pew explain what the purpose of storing meat in the house would be?
Feed the needy.
Feed the needy? Hey, Ray, which needy?
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ?
Yes.
Not salaries for the pastor and the prissy tight jeans music minister?
Nope.
That's not what it's for?
Nope.
You mean to tell me that you ought to be able, let me get this right now, bring all the tithes in the storehouse. To be meat. I'm just reading the scripture. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Meat in my house. Why? Because when Chad Estes says, Coach, I'd sure love to go down to Rockport, but I don't have any finances to get down there, I can turn around and say, well, hey, I got some meat here. Let me get some meat out of my storehouse. Here you go, Chad. The meat in the storehouse is to do the works of the ministry, folks.
Amen.
To help those who are involved in doing the works of the ministry. And you know what happens in churches? You know this is true. So many churches get overflowing with so much money. What do? They build bigger barns. They don't have anything else to do with the money, so they build an addition. Let's build this on here, and let's build this on. Let's hire some staff. Let's do it. And meanwhile, people sitting in the pew are locked in financial bondage, and they go to the church, and the church says, hey, we need somebody goes to the church and says, we need some financial help. And what do? Well, they go check the tithing records to see if you've given. If you've given, maybe they'll give you a crumb. We don't operate that here. You give to us, you give into our ministry, we help meet your needs. I think that's biblical. Can somebody point out maybe that I might be wrong here? It says in the scripture that no soldier goes to warfare at his own charges or at his own expenses. And it's the obligation of some of you watching right now who have never sent us a dime, give us $20 a month so that those who want to go to trying to get to and fight have the finances to be able to do it. Hey, we're fine financially. I ain't begging for your money.
Amen.
I'm just trying to get you to open your eyes and understand how this whole thing works, right? How about this? Are you sick and tired of giving your money to the government who then gives it to people who don't do anything at all? You voluntarily give your money to the government to do that. Then tonight, probably going to take your wife out to a movie. Get her a meal before you go. Spend $60. You won't spend me. You won't send me a dollar a day. I don't need your dollars. But there are people right now. I know, right? I just found out some of these people at the Kentucky Mountain Bible College are trying to come down to Port Arthur. Some of them don't have the finances to get down there. They don't have the, these college kids don't have the money to get down there. Huh. Hey, Michelle, is there any meat in the storehouse? I'm going to move on. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to have to loosen my tie here in a minute. What's that?
I said, can I say something, Coach?
Please do, Lindell. Getting ready to go here now.
Christians are making excuses.
Of course they are.
Christians are the best at making excuses.
We're the worst, man. We have zero commitment. We're zero commitment. We're committed to the gospel if it lines up with us. If it makes us a little bit better, then we're committed to it. Somebody else jump in. Go ahead and punch while we can. Come on, listen to my side. Now it's time to punch.
Let me punch, brother. Let me punch. Weinstein, the pig.
Yeah,
he goes to the same rehab as Tiger Coblin Asian Woods.
And wow.
He stands in front and he says, "I'm a good guy and I deserve a second chance."
Yeah,
and
he sure does.
And I agree with the second chance. The second chance is a guillotine or the rope.
He needs the Lord, baby. He is what they call a worker of iniquity. No doubt about it. No doubt about it, man.
Coach?
Boy, the goblin men stand up and push back. Yeah, somebody else. I hear you tickling out there.
Yeah. I went to one church in Texas where when Flip Bannum was in 6 months in jail in Virginia, our church took a love offering to send me and another deacon to go down there to Virginia. I think Richmond, Virginia. And they paid the airfare and a rental car and a motel so that we could go and support Flip when he was in jail.
Well, because there was meat in the house. Is that right? There
was meat in the house? They took a love offering.
Wow, and that's something. See, listen, let me tell you something. You shouldn't even have to take a love offering. You shouldn't even have to.
True.
You'll be able to go to the pastor and say, Pastor, I'm going to go to war. Can you help me go to war? And the pastor will say, well, by golly, yes, we will. And whatever we have to do, we'll get a love offering. Whatever. That's the way it ought to operate, see.
Well, I think
a person who is giving to the church should never feel bad about asking for the church for financial help, ever. That's the way I see it. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was going to say that I believe our pastor, Rick Scarborough, he wanted to make sure that nobody would be offended at the next work business meeting.
Rick Scarborough is a good man.
Amen.
Amen. Rick, amen. Why am I jumping in? What?
I was just going to say, the last church I attended to, we had a big issue when they brought the tithing into the house. We had to buy carpeting, and the church split because somebody wanted red carpeting and the other ones wanted blue carpeting. So, I mean, that's the kind of issues that most of these dead churches are dealing
with. Hey, Ray, I know you would attest to, and I'm not putting you on the spot. I looked at how many, there's 21 people that are in the queue right now. Most of you know that we have helped you go places. We've bought you gas. We've put up in hotels. We've fed you. I'm proud of that. I don't apologize for that. When I take our army, I'll be daggone if the army, if the privates ought to have to dig in their own pocket to pay their own way.
Amen. And because of that kind of a ministry, the people that are receiving like that, we have in our own spirit a willingness to go further and continue and do all that we can, go out of our way, sacrifice, and just continue to be plugged in wherever is needed. So,
amen. And give you the ability to be able to go. So walk into your church and go up to the pastor. Say, Pastor, where's the beef? Because I just read there's supposed to be something in the storehouse. Where's the beef?
Coach.
Go ahead, George.
Coach, you know, I think a lot of giving is just where people put their priorities. You know, people in the end do what they want to do. We all do what we want to do. And is our priority God's true work, or is it our pleasure and the things that we want to do? You know, I heard a saying years ago. It said, God will get it to you if he can get it through you.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So why wouldn't a loving Heavenly Father want to bless you with more finances and resources if he knows you're going to use it for his kingdom work?
Yeah. Amen, George.
Keep your 20 bucks. Go ahead. Come in here every morning and eat at the trough freely. Keep your 20 bucks. We don't need it. Let's move back there, Jared, back to that homepage where we were. Because I'm trying to get those people from Ohio to come and join us. Okay, now we got that one. And then the 26th, I didn't think this was going to take this long, but it's well worth it. The 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th, we're going to be in Wisconsin. If you live close to Wisconsin, how about getting your hind end to Wisconsin? Do you think maybe you could do that? Jared, click on that one. We're going to go the 26th to Marshfield. Rob Pugh has opened up a Salt and Light Brigade ministry office in Marshfield, Wisconsin. We're having we call it a boot camp. Call it whatever you want to. We're having a rally there. Greg Evenson is going to come and speak at this rally. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to speak at the rally. I'm going to be there. We're going to press hand. We're going to try to wake up an army in Wisconsin. Say, oh, coach, oh, that's Friday night football, coach. Can you come Saturday? Oh, no, I can't come Saturday. The Badgers play Minnesota. Priorities, man. Priorities. I'm going to tell you something. I'm getting my butt in a car, and I'm driving 12 hours to get up there. Tell them where you're getting paid to. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, right, I am. Yeah, I am.
Well, that's what DVRs are for. Tape it.
That tape it. Talk is cheap, man. Talk's cheap. We are at the crossroads of Western civilization. And we can't get guys to put this on their calendar and go, I bet you this. I bet if I told this, everybody who comes gets $1,000. $1,000 to everybody who comes. How many be there, John? How many be there if I was giving everybody $1,000?
At least 50.
At least 50. It's all priorities. So we're going to be there on the Thursday, the 27th. And then we're going to go south to Milwaukee the next day, the 20-whatever day that is. Jared, my brain is working a little bit better. 27th, we're having a boot camp down in Milwaukee area. This is all on our website. We're going to do a boot camp on Friday, Saturday, and finish it up with service at Pastor Terry Fisher's church on Sunday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We have hotels that are cheaper. We have a special price on that. You can sleep on the floor at the church, whatever. You say, Coach, I don't have the money. Well, of course not. You never send 20 bucks into the storehouse. Why would there be money? I'm not mad. It just seems like it. And then November 1, 2, 3, and 4, we're going to be in Indianapolis as a part of the Operation Save America regional event against abortion. That's November 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now, at the same time we're doing this, Big Rich and Jim and Ray and Jim Bob and some others, well, they're going to go down to Port Arthur. While we're in Indianapolis, Rich and those guys, they're going to be down in Port Arthur. So they're excused from the meeting. You understand? See, everybody wants to be on the team, but nobody wants to play. And everybody wants to play, but they don't want to have any reserves. I don't know what to do. It's great frustration. Okay, have I covered the bases here so far? No, I haven't. I'll come to you wherever you are. I ain't some star. I'm not some star, but if it matters, I'll come to where you are. I'll come and speak and put on a boot camp and fire up some guys. I'll do that. I tried to go down to Chad's. The time I tried to go down to Texas a couple, 6 weeks ago, whatever it was, the Hurricane Harvey hit. They weren't able to get down there. They canceled the trip. I'll come to you. You're listening right now and you're in California. And you like to get a Salt and Light Brigade thing going. Give me a call. We'll come. Oh, wait a minute. If there's meat in the house, we will. There's meat in the house.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
One other thing, too, like you were talking about building your own downline. I mean, if you can't make it to a lot of these areas, right in your own home, like tomorrow, I'm going to be driving 300 miles to Nashville, 150 there and 150 back, spend 2 hours at an abortion clinic. Everybody in every town has an abortion clinic. They don't need to be plugged into just Coach Dave's ministries.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely, Ray. Now, just out of the blue, I'm digging in my Bible here. You just stay right there. I just got an email from Jim Davis, 2 Thessalonians 1. He says, I don't think he's listening. I really don't. I think he just is a loving guy and he sent it to me. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. He says, Coach, this is you. I read this about you this morning, he said. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. No, chapter 1, verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his... Wow. Boy, did I get a goosebump there. According to the grace, maybe some of you aren't worthy. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you aren't worthy, or maybe some of you don't feel worthy. Thanks, Jim. Boy, I didn't need that. I gotta move. I'm gonna start yelling. Start yelling. What an honor to serve the Lord. I'm gonna tell you this right now. There ain't no sacrifice too big that you could make to serve the Lord. None. No sacrifice.
Amen.
In fact, if you can go without sacrifice, you might as well not even go. If you were going to go to a missions trip to Haiti as part of a vacation of being down there, then don't even go. If going to Haiti isn't a pain in the butt, then I wouldn't go. And if getting prepared to go there is a pain in the butt, then you ought to go. You ought to go.
Fight pressure, brother.
Fight pressure. Okay, I covered all that. Where do I go next? Okay, Jared, go to my Facebook page. Boy, was that a word? Was that a word right there? Find yourself worthy.
Amen, Coach.
That our God would count you worthy of this calling. Wow. I caught Jared by surprise there trying to get into his Facebook page so he can get into mine. I got a clip I gotta show you. I was watching this morning. I'm watching as Jared's trying to get on my page. Oh, so much to talk about. I don't want to talk about this yet. I do want to, but I don't want to yet. I want you guys to watch this. One more down, Jared. You guys aren't on my Facebook page, shame on you. Look at this. Jared, click on that. Clip. Go back there, Matt. Now, Jared, go back. I'm sorry. I want to show you something there. Jared, just click on where it says see more. It says see more. Right above the picture. Yeah. Janine sent this to me. She wants to make the old Mama Papa song called California Burning. All the leaves are brown and the sky is gray. I've been for a walk on an autumn day. I'd be safe from harm if I was not in L.A. California Burning. On such a fall, they stopped into a church. I passed along the way. Well, I got down on my knees and I pretend to pray. You know, the preacher likes the cold. He knows I'm not going to stay because California is burning. Man, I could preach there, but I won't. Jared, let's go to the next one. Scroll on down. Thanks for that, Janine. You made the big time, man. You made it in his coach tape. I want you. I got a message for you from Rusty Thomas. This is 8 minutes and 53 seconds. But this is my heart. And this was Rusty out in front of the last remaining abortion clinic in Louisville, Kentucky, where Chris Keyes was arrested. The Chris Keyes, who's down in Texas, rescuing people on a boat, who is down in Texas, who last night fed 500 people again. While most people sound good and didn't do a damn thing. Chris is serving everywhere he goes. This is a powerful message from Rusty. Go ahead and pull that up there. Play that if you will, Jared.
Well, brother, like I said, you bring up a very important question, okay? Jesus said this, brother, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. So when it comes to any dominant evil that is an exposed area for the enemy to come to kill, steal, and destroy, God has raised up an institution called the Church of the Living God. And what we know from history, because the church read the scriptures, because the church was filled with the Holy Spirit, they understood that man was the crown of God's creation, and that man was made in the image of God. So whenever tyrants or oppressors rose up to target innocent people for destruction, it was the church who stood in the gap. It was the church that made up the hedge. It was the church that rescued and ended the evils of their day. And you can just go through history, brother. Slavery, infanticide, you know, human sacrifice. Who was the one that God worked through to rescue and to save those appointed to destruction? And for whatever reason, brother, in the American church, we have lost sight of our heritage. We have lost sight of the biblical revelation, you know. And so we must understand that God doesn't have, you know, plan B. He only has plan A, the Church of the Living God. And this is what we must understand, Chris. We walk a tightrope when it comes to this battle for the souls of men, the lives of children, the future of our bloodstained and perverted nation. And here's this tightrope. You know, we got to love what God loves. And we got to hate what God hates. God loves his church. And even when she fails, and even sometimes when she gets pitiful and pathetic, and honestly, we got to understand, when we look at our government that we have, and we look at the culture that we live in, the church must understand that's God's report card on the effectiveness of his church to disciple the nation and be the salt and the light in the earth. But God loves his church, but he also hates the hands that shed innocent blood. So we're walking this tightrope knowing that God's solution to this Holocaust, to end it, is the Church of Jesus Christ. But right now the church is turning a blind eye and a deaf ear to the plight of their neighbor that's being led to slaughter. We know we're to love God. We know we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. But right now our neighbor's being led to slaughter for blood money. We have neighbors right across the street that are defending this evil. And then we got neighbors that are actually putting their hand to this evil. So where is the truth and the love of Christ to come and to confront and overcome this evil? Jesus didn't say, I'm going to build the Republican Party and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We can't hire mercenaries to fight a battle that only the Church of Jesus Christ can win. It's through the church, through the name of Jesus, through the blood of the Lamb, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We drive back darkness and set the captive free. And we got to understand about our Lord. When we talk about, and we know loving what God loves and hating what God hates,
the scripture says this is the reason why Jesus, our Lord, the Messiah, was anointed beyond any other person. He had the Spirit without measure. And we know, Chris, from the scriptures, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. There are demonic strongholds in the land savaging us as a people. And so God has given us weapons of warfare that are not carnal, and they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The problem with the American church, brother, we believe these things, we read these things, but what is missing? We're not applying it. There's no biblical Christianity application. But boy, brother, when we live out our faith, all right, and we do the works of God, brother, powerful things happen. Souls get converted. Children are saved. And death camps like this go the way of every bloody tyranny of man. This is what happens when God's people show up. God shows off. He watches over his word to perform it. And we got a lot of brothers and sisters are literally dying on the vine, sitting in church pews each and every day, and actually believe that their total spiritual responsibility has been fulfilled by going into a building, singing songs, and listening to messages. Well, I got to tell you, that's a part of our obedience to God. But it's not the fullness of our obedience to God. We got a kingdom to advance. Amen. We got to manifest God's great salvation in the earth, and we can't do that in a building alone. The salt has to come out of the shaker. The light has to come out from under the bushel, and we need to engage in the heavenlies, this battle. We need to engage our government, our culture, and we got to get on the streets. That's, I mean, when you look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, yes, he taught in the synagogue. Yes, he taught in the temple. Sometimes. But the majority of times when you read the gospel, where is Jesus? He's out in the culture. He's out on the street. He's looking at the masses, and it broke his heart. And he was moved with compassion that he saw people shit like sheep without a shepherd. And so the church was birthed in the streets, and I don't know why we got holed up in buildings, but somewhere along the way we have lost our way. And because we have lost our way, our nation is perishing. And so will God be angry forever? Will he not revive us again? Of course he will. If the church, we will repent and return to our first love and our first works. Of course God will move on our behalf. And that's what we're seeing out here. So I just want to encourage the brothers and sisters, if you got a conviction about the plight of these children, you know the church is the answer. Listen, I've been able, Chris, by God's grace, to walk this fine line, to work within churches that are neglecting the love of the widow and the orphan and visiting them in their distress, which the Bible says this is pure and undefiled religion before God. And I've been able to faithfully, brother, declare God's word in the church without causing splits, all right? Without drawing disciples to myself and so others would reject pastors or elders or established church authority. But I have lived my life in such a way, brother, that my message and my life says to the church, I am challenging you to love and to good works. You know, it's like the book of Revelations, you know, where Jesus said to the church, you're doing this well, you're doing this well, you're doing this good, and I commend you for what you're doing, but I have somewhat against you. Because there are certain areas, church, you're failing. And I call you to repent. And we do need to call our brothers and sisters to repentance. Not as Christian jerks, not in anger in our heart. This is a Macedonian call, Chris. And we're calling to the church, those of us that are laboring in this culture on the street, we're calling the church, come help us, work with us. We are the church of Jesus Christ. And the only hope these children have, the only hope this nation has, is for the church to obey her king and to do what God is calling us to do. And if we'll do that, brother, we'll see God arise and the enemy scattered in Jesus' name. God bless you, Chris.
Amen.
Man, couldn't have said it better myself. Couldn't have said it better myself, guys. Anybody want to react to that?
Just to let people know that, yeah. That Rusty had to be on that side of the street because he was arrested on Mother's Day, and that he could not go across that street there and preach that in front of that clinic.
But you know what else, John? Chris Keyes was arrested that day, and you know what else? Rusty was in Port Arthur with Chris Keyes. Can somebody explain to me why it's the same people everywhere? When nobody else is getting off their ass, pardon me, nobody else is getting off their ass and getting involved with it.
They're sold out.
Somebody wanted to jump in here.
Yeah, Coach. Man, I almost didn't say this, but I have to. You know, I appreciate what those guys do, and they are on the front lines, and I agree with you. They are to be emulated, and they're to be an example for the courage the rest of us need. But they're falling into some of the same error that the churches are going and speaking to are. And that is they are falling into the error of believing that those churches they're going to are Christians.
Yeah, I know that. Rusty knows that too. Rusty knows that too.
And until we stop doing that, he said, don't go in anger. Did Jesus have anger when he overturned the tables? You bet he did. In fact, part of repentance is having what indignation. Now, indignation is a righteous anger.
Amen. Rusty has that. I'm sticking up. I understand what you're saying, Larry. I agree with you. I'm sticking up for Rusty. Rusty understands that.
I stick up for Rusty, yeah. But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if somebody? Oh man, I'm gonna have to shut my mouth before I get in trouble.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, this is Glenn.
Hey, Glenn.
You know, you're right. Rusty just hit the nail on the head. This is a problem that's endemic with the church as a whole. You know, I mentioned this before. You know, my wife and I are, you know, we do this street evangelism monthly, and we go knocking on doors, and we take with a survey approach, just engaging people, you know, about the gospel.
Right.
You know, we're lucky if we can get four people out. If six people show up, we're just blown away because, you know, they make an announcement about this in church and nobody shows up. Yet, you have a men's breakfast and you have a horseshoe tournament and 35 guys show up, you know.
Right.
And thinking about what Rusty just said, I'm reminded about something that somebody else said. And this is back in 1967. Listen to this. You may be 38 years old, as I have happened to be, and one day a great opportunity stands before you and calls upon you to stand up for some great principle, some great issue, some great cause, and you refuse to do it because you're afraid. You refuse to do it because you want to live longer. You're afraid that you will lose your job. You're afraid that you'll be criticized or that you will lose your popularity. So you refuse to take the stand. Well, you may go on and live until you're 90, but you're just as dead at 38 as you would be at 90. And the cessation of breathing in your life is but a belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. You died when you refused to stand up for right. You died when you refused to stand up for truth. You died when you refused to stand up for justice. That was from Martin Luther King Jr. in the Ebenezer Baptist Church, November 5th, 1967. Have things changed much? I don't think so.
No, brother. In fact, walking dead men, they're dead. Their heart just hasn't quit beating. That's the point that you're making. They're already dead.
Amen.
They're already dead.
They will experience the second death at that level.
Yeah. Spiritually, well, I've got something I want to play you here. I was on the airplane yesterday, and I hate on airplanes. I'm on them a lot. And I don't like, I told you guys before, I'm not a small talk guy. But I sat down beside this guy that just, he was a small talk, and he just wouldn't shut up. Found out what I did, and he went on and on and on and on and on and on. I just wanted to go to sleep. And he said, have you watched that have you watched that Jason Aldean thing from Saturday Night Live? He said to me, he said, I said, no, no, I heard about it, but I'm not a big Saturday Night Live guy. No, I don't watch it. He said, oh, man, you got to watch it. He said, you know, Jason Aldean did the opening there. Jason Aldean was a guy who was on the stage down in Las Vegas when the shooting began. He said, he did this opening, man. I said, it was powerful. He said, it was so powerful. I went and grabbed my kids, and I made my kids watch it on YouTube. It's really, really powerful. And he says, you know, the Tom Petty died, and Jason Aldean, out of nowhere, is singing this Tom Petty song. He said, man, you just got to listen to those words. So that's what we're going to do here a second. Jared, I just sent it to you as a separate email. I think you got it. Hope you got it. And Jason Aldean does a Saturday Night Live open. He says whatever you would say. And then he says, well, I'm listening to this yesterday, and I'm thinking, why don't Christian men think like this? I don't think Tom Petty was a Christian. I don't think he wrote it to Christian men. Just sit back and listen to this. Go ahead, Jared, play that. This is the opening to Saturday Night Live last Saturday.
I'm Jason Aldean. This week, we witnessed one of the worst tragedies in American history. Like everyone, I'm struggling to understand what happened that night and how to pick up the pieces and start to heal. So many people are hurting. There are children, parents, brothers, sisters, friends. They're all part of our family. So I want to say to them, we hurt for you. And we hurt with you. But you can be sure that we're going to walk through these tough times together every step of the way. Because when America is at its best, our bond and our spirit, it's unbreakable.
Make the church great again, boys. Listen to these words. Let's make the church great again.
Bad connection, coach.
What's that? It's a bad connection, Jared. Can you figure out a way to clean that thing up at all? There you go. No easy way out. There you go, Jared. Folks, I'm sorry about the technical difficulties there of why that didn't play. You can find that on your own at YouTube. Just put YouTube Jason Aldean Saturday Night Live. I won't back down. There ain't no easy way out. I won't back down. Why can the world sing that and the church roll over? Why do Christian men roll over? I'm going to shut up before I get. I don't need my high blood pressure 5 minutes before the end of the show. Somebody help me wrap this baby up here. I won't back down. I'm standing my ground.
Well, Coach, do you know that it's been purported that Jason Aldean had foreknowledge of this event?
No, I didn't know that.
I just figured I'd throw that in.
Yeah. Oh, boy. What a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. You know, here's the truth. I really don't care. I really don't care who knew what, who was involved, who's covering it up, who did this and who did that. But see, that doesn't even matter. What matters is what the hell am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not going to back up. There's no easy way out. Quit looking at the greater impact of what's going on around you and look right where you are and what can you do right where you are. Well, hell, you can't even get in the car and come to a rally in Wisconsin.
The answer is there. They should be making rallies where they are if they don't want to go to Wisconsin.
There you go, man. Hey, there it is. Build your downline, baby. Build your downline. It all doubles back to what I was talking about yesterday when I'm standing down there in Port Arthur. So what am I doing here? Well, Chris Keys is there. Rusty's there. That's why I'm there. The Lord's there. Where are you? Well, you can't go because you don't have the finance. Because you don't give $20 into the storehouse. You don't have to say amen. That's just good preaching, all right? Just good preaching. Don't need your $20. That's why I'm there. It's the whole principle of it. The whole principle of building an army.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Something just hit me.
That's scary.
There's a whole lot of people out there that have got part of the truth, and yet they doggedly hang on to lies. And, you know, Satan had part of the truth. In fact, yep. Satan's probably got the whole scripture memorized.
He could preach it, man. He preached it to Eve.
And when Jesus was in the wilderness, Satan used scripture to try to deceive and get Jesus off track. And later, Jesus had to say about Satan that he is the father of lies. He is a liar, the father of lies. And Jesus said, and the truth is not in him.
There is no truth in him. None.
That means that scripture that Satan had in him, since it was not the whole truth, he didn't use all the scripture. He took it out of context and so on and so forth. That means that scripture, without being used and presented in the context of the whole truth, is a lie.
The blank, man. Shooting a blank. Part of the truth is part of a lie. Part of the truth
is part of a lie. It's a grain of sand, brother. It's a grain of sand that the church has built its foundation.
Made it to the ball game last night.
Well, the game was pretty insane and intense. But she's in bed. She's really dealing with some sharp pain.
And she made it to the game. We'll be praying for Dale. You clicked out there. We'll be praying. Continue to pray for Michelle to get back up on her feet. And God's will be done. You'd be being that mommy.
God plus
servant.
One is the majority, Coach.
That's right, brother. That's right. Coach. That's right. Yeah.
For everybody who watches this show, just realize that you will be standing or kneeling before Christ someday, and you will be held accountable for what you did.
Amen. Scary thought. Thank God for grace. This point, there are a lot of people really relying on. I'm counting on it, man. I'm counting on it. And you say, well, Coach, you preach such a works gospel. No, I don't preach a works gospel. I preach a love gospel. I love the Lord, and I seek the lost on his behalf. I do everything I can to expand the kingdom of God. And if you think just sitting in your church and going to church is rusted, you think just going to church once a week, raising your hands in church, you think that's what's required of you? You think that's all is required of you as a Christian? Look at the devil's kids, man. They're out in the streets. Man, they are workers of iniquity. They're spreading their filth. They are actively engaging in the destruction of everything good. And we sit in our churches and pray, lift our hands, tell Jesus how much we love him. They'll know them by their fruit. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you on Monday.